Flashback to your days as an 18-year-old in West Virginia. Did you idolize Paul McCartney as your friends raved over Green Day? Did you play sold-out clubs and hopping festivals around the state? Were you running on good times? If you were, you have a good deal in common with the Hattons, a pair of brothers who founded the Huntington rock band Of The Dell. We sat down with Of The Dell's frontman, Corey Hatton, to talk about his band, his dog, his state, and why he keeps getting banned from, well, everything. Note, this interview is uncensored. Listener discretion is advised. So who are you, and what do you do?
I'm Corey Hatton. I play the rhythm guitar for the group. I write most of the songs, and I'm the lead singer.
And how old are you, Corey?
18.
You're 18. How long have you been playing music?
Since I was 12.
How did you get started in it? Like, what spurred you to pick up a rhythm guitar?
Well, I was in sixth grade, and my brother, he brought someone over to the house named Isaac Hodges, who happens to be the lead guitar player in the band now. This was 8 years ago, probably. And he had his guitar, and I said, well, that thing's freaking awesome. And then I tried to learn, and, you know, after many, many years of struggling and frustration, you know, you finally learn a few things, and you get it going, and then it started from there. And then we just started, and then my brother, he got a bass, and he said, well, let's just do something. So then we started, you know, jamming around, and then we were starting to have some fun with it. It was sounding all right, and then we went from there.
So before you picked up the guitar and started fiddling around with it, I guess you were interested in music? Like, you loved it, you just didn't play any?
Yeah, I didn't play any because, you know, I grew up poor, never had no money to buy anything, and that never even crossed my mind. Maybe I should, you know, look into doing this. I just listened to the things I had laying around the house.
And what were you, I know that you all are influenced by kind of older generation music. You know, you really like the Beatles, a lot of kind of 60s music. What were you listening to around that time?
The Who, Led Zeppelin, the Beatles, Paul McCartney and Wings, Freddie and the Dreamers, Gary Lewis and the Playboys, Jerry and the Pacemakers, all that stuff.
And that's kind of, that's interesting. I feel like I wasn't interested in that kind of music until I kind of got older, like maybe in my 20s. But you were attracted to that at a you know, fairly young age. I think that's kind of astounding that, you know, you really got into this kind of older, deeper music at a time when, you know, so what, 12, that was about, yeah, 8-ish years ago. So like mid-2000s, that kind of music wasn't really being played on air. You probably would have heard Pitbull or Christina Aguilera or some other poppy combination, and you were attracted to classic rock.
Yeah. See, what happened was my folks had a turntable, had a bunch of 45s from that era, and I said, you know what, I'm just going to, you know, spend a couple of these just passing time, and then I started really digging it, and that's when I started buying my own.
Well, that's, I'm kind of amazed by that, though. I mean, what were your friends listening to around that time?
What I like to say is I'm a crap. Nothing I was into. They liked Iron Maiden and Slayer and whatever else, Green Day or whatever stupid stuff they were playing. I can't even remember.
Yeah, Simple Plan, probably Good Charlotte. That kind of shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which isn't, like, it's not totally bad. It's just kind of, I feel like when the generations go by, the music kind of loses a little bit of, it kind of loses its raw nature. I feel like this is like a new raw, like, you know, it's pretty and it's manufactured, but back then, The Who weren't really like that. They just went up on stage and did all kinds of shit.
Of course. And that's what made them great.
Well, you guys are kind of like that too, though. I mean, you kind of, your personality and the way you play your music live is very raw. And it's very energetic. And you could see you have this, like, not like a boyish charm, but you have this kind of just unadulterated energy. And I think that's kind of classic rock right there, is what you're embodying.
That's all we've ever known.
I just can't believe that you all are doing this I mean, what are your plans moving forward with the band? Like, what do you plan on doing, like, I don't know, 10 years from now? Or have you thought that far in advance?
I do sometimes, but, you know, the future's never certain. That's the way I learned to realize when I was about, you know, not even, hell, I'm only 18, probably 6 months ago. You got to learn, you know, that there isn't, you're never for sure. Even if it's laid out in front of you, anything can change. You're never positive about what anything, you know, with even the next day. You're never for sure. It's just, I don't know. I'd like to be playing music. I wouldn't ask for, like, I mean, I don't expect major success. I just, you know, want to make, you know, a living off of it. Because, you know, I'm scared of labor.
You're scared of doing work that doesn't involve a guitar? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Ergophobia. Scared of labor. Scared of the 9-to-5.
Yeah, I kind of get that. I think that's kind of a generational thing, too. It's just we, you know, so long as we get the work done, we don't exactly care what we're doing, so long as we like it enough. And I think we're both lucky enough to work in a field that's really cool. It's absolutely so cool, and we love doing it.
I love the Huntington music scene. Very nice people. Very great people.
Well, let's talk about that. Did Of the Dell start in Huntington? Did it start outside of Huntington?
No, it started right here in Huntington.
Okay. So what was the first time you all came together as a band, or when was the first time that you played at a venue in Huntington?
Wow, that's, let's see, got to use my brain.
I'm sorry.
I'd be using it later on anyway. Well, me and my brother, Cody and Isaac, we've been playing for about 6 years. So, I mean, we have been doing it for many, many, many years. I still remember being in middle school, and Isaac would come over and spend the night on the weekends, and we would do nothing but play guitar and just spin records, play guitar, you know, switch off. We wouldn't leave the house because, you know, there's nothing to get into that was worth our time, I thought. But there was a point when some of that slipped, and we kind of caught it on our own, and we did it on our own time. So then it was like, you know, maybe we can do these things. And there was probably a 6-7 month period where we just didn't show any interest. But actually, individually, we were each doing our own thing and progressing more and more and more until my brother surpassed, my twin brother surpassed everyone. He's still at that point right now.
Oh.
Better than, he can play, he picks up anything faster and better than me and Isaac could ever dream of.
Well, that sounds like a pretty good brother. And also, it sounds like you really do like your brother. You guys don't hate each other. You're not at each other's throats. No, it sounds like you guys have a good relationship then, which is, you know.
We do 4 or 5 days of the week, we have a great relationship. And then there's those one mornings where you get up and he gets mad because I've used the last clean towel in the bathroom, and he throws a punch at me and knocks me down, or he body slams me over some ramen noodles, or I break a string on his guitar. Yeah, you have those things too.
I could get into, like, fighting over ramen noodles. I mean, that's like a precious commodity. You don't want to mess with that.
Oh, he picked me up and body slammed me right on the ground. See, I'm only 120 pounds. He's 210. He's a big boy.
But you guys don't fight over the music, though, or, you know, or girls or anything to do with that. You just fight over food and clean towels.
Yeah, he does. I don't like violence, but he, you know, sometimes you have to if you get blindsided right in the back of the head, and you look behind you, and there he is standing over there saying, come on, come on, throw something at me, come on.
Maybe he should consider getting into, like, wrestling, you know, like doing wrestling on the side of music. Or maybe you could turn into, like, a wrestling band where, you know, you do, like, musical, like, battle of the bands, but they're actually battles.
See, his problem is he likes to drink a lot of alcohol and get, you know, out of his head, and then he don't know what he's doing, and everything, and he thinks everything he says and does is right, and everyone else is wrong, and if you say one thing to him, he's ready to go.
Oh, see, I never had that relationship. I don't have a sibling. I'm an only child. I have a dog, but you can't really do that, the dog, because it's a dog, but that's...
The dog always wins. I got a dog, and he's 6 years old, when I did, and you learn not to, you know, you don't hurt your dog.
No, you don't. What kind of dog is it?
A beagle. He's sitting right here with
me. Oh, it's a beagle. Oh, that's so cute. We have a beagle. Oh, not really a beagle, but we have a kind of beagle mix that comes into the office, and he is so cute. He's so cute. I have a sheepdog, so yeah, he's kind of furry, but beagles just have that kind of demeanor that's like, oh, it's so sweet. Oh.
Yeah, they appear to be so sweet. Have you ever stuck your hand down there when they're trying to eat?
No. Don't.
They will snap right back, and they will show no care.
Maybe I should do a profile of the dogs of the West Virginia music scene, because I think that would be cute, like a calendar that could promote the West Virginia music scene, like for $5 for a dog calendar that could go into a fund, like what HMAF does. Okay, I'm going to bring this up to Ian, because I kind of like this idea of dogs.
As an animal lover, I think it's a great idea.
I think it'd be cute. And then we could also have, like, the band equipment. So you just have all the stuff and even merch. Like, they could be wearing Of The Dell t-shirts, you know, for your little dog, for your little beaks. That would be so cute. I would like that.
He ain't little no more. He's a big, full-grown, probably about 65-pound fat boy.
Oh, fat boy. Fat boy Beagle. Oh, yeah. That'd be a good band name.
His name's Checkers, though. We named him after President Nixon's dog.
Oh, that's so cute. That's so cute, Checkers. That's so cute. Okay, I need to stop talking about dogs. I'm getting all excited. So let's get back on the West Virginia music scene now for a sec. You started in Huntington. You started doing more music. You play at the V Club. You play at Black Sheep. You play at Huntington Music and Arts Festival. What have your experiences been like interacting with the other musicians in and around the area?
So far, I have not met one musician I did not like.
That tends to be the reaction I hear about the West Virginia music scene. It's just it being able to be around people that you can get along with and play with very easily.
Very kind and very inspiring. You know, they're all after the same sort of goals you're after, you know? It's kind of like one big family.
Yeah.
At least that's how I feel.
Yeah. No, I agree too. Especially at HMAF when you see everyone playing together and you see the kind of buds out there that are playing with every band. That's nice.
It's a great thing, and I thank Ian Thornton a lot for what he does around here.
Yeah. Is there something that you could see there being, needing an improvement? Like, there's something that people should know about the West Virginia music scene that they could help with, or just something that you'd like to see different in the next year?
People just need to know that we're here, and they need to put us on the map because we're forced to be reckoned with. And I'm not joking. You see it. Everyone sees it. Great, great fucking bands here. Great. Great talent, great songwriters, great voices. You know what I'm saying? They just need to be heard.
Yeah.
That's the way I feel about it.
So really, it's kind of just getting people out there and getting them to see these bands live before they turn into the Chris Stapletons of the world or the bigger bands like the Roswell Kids.
People definitely need to open their eyes to Huntington. I know it's hard because we're culturally dead here, the way it seems. Nobody really cares about anything. It's a Republican state, so everyone, you know, is back and forth. You know, someone's always bitching about something or somebody they don't like, you know. That's how it goes here, and I guess that's how it's always been. I hope that's not how it always will be, but according to people like my grandparents, that's the way it's going to stay, and they are going to fight to keep it the same way. But you never know.
Yeah, and I think that's talking about it more kind of brings it out there more. Some of my friends probably wouldn't know about the music scene were not for the fact that I'm kind of throwing it at them every week with the people I'm interviewing or the bands that are coming in from Mountain Stage or whatever. And I don't really know why that is. I mean, now we're kind of in an age where you can find bands on Spotify. You can, you know, see tweets that are happening at local venues of who's coming in to play music. It seems like there's so many different ways to get the information out there. And there still is some disconnect. Like, people still aren't hearing it or seeing it or realizing it that's happening. And I don't know. That's just been something I've been feeling the last year of, like, how else can you tell people that this is happening and that they should come out and see it or be a part of it?
Yeah, like, people, you know, they're always wrapped up in working or doing their own thing, you know. You can show people, but you can't get them to dig it. That's their own choice.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, it seems like you all, though, at the very least, Of The Dell has been getting a pretty good fan base in around Huntington and you know, just around the area, just with the music, the limited music that you've been releasing. I mean, this is your debut single, Running on Good Times. It came with Running and Good Time All the Time, and people are going crazy about it.
I like it. I know there's better to come. You know, our full length, I know will be.
Well, how about the singles? Like, how did they come about? Did you have these on the back burner for a while, and then you finally wanted to release them? Well, or are these just new creations?
The song Running, I wrote that solely in 2013. I was suspended from high school, as always. One morning, I woke up probably about 9:30, went downstairs, got me some cigarettes, went back upstairs, had the guitar, threw the capo on there, and I came up with that riff, and I was like, yeah, I like that, you know? It's real driving, real, just the way I wanted it to sound. And I said, you know, let's throw some words in there. And I went to my old notebook, and I had some words in there that I'd written, who knows when, probably a month before that. I put that melody together, and there it was. And then I showed it to the group, and my brother helped me out with it, and then there it was. And we didn't start playing it live, actually, till probably June of this year, which is very odd, because my brother, and he never really showed interest towards it until we started recording it.
And then what about with Good Time All the Time? Like, how?
Oh, that song, straight from the summertime, I'm not going to lie. Me and my brother, we leave the house every day, and I tell you, this past summer has been the greatest thing we've ever, you know, endured. And I remember looking at him, and he said, you know what, I'm just here to have a good time all the time. And I was like, there you go. And that kind of, you know, stuck in the back of our heads, and we put down that song, and then there it was. That's what the summer was about for us, good time all the time.
Good time all the time sounds like the mantra for the band anyways. Like, you guys, you know, are young and free and making this music, and you just want to have a good time all the time.
You know, we get more questions about that song than we get any other. People ask, you know, they don't want to believe that it's about a good time all the time, because the other lyrics in there, they find them very, I wouldn't say offensive, but very, I don't know, like, I don't know how to put it into words. People, you know, they're always wondering what the true meaning behind that is.
And the true meaning is you want to have a good time all the time. It's pretty clear, I think.
That's what I'm saying. People are always asking about that bridge chorus, pre-chorus. If you won't give it up today, I'll find my love in another way. And they're always, you know, always hinting at other things. And I'm always telling them, you know, that just means, you know, you can have a good time even if something goes wrong. You know, there's always another fish out there, you know. It doesn't have to be, you know, you don't have to let it get you down.
Well, if you had to boil it down to, like, one or two words, what would you say about Of the Dell?
Fast and chaotic.
Fast and chaotic.
Yes.
Do you think it's ever going to become slow and organized?
I'd like to believe, but I just don't see it. The way me and my brother are always back and forth, and Isaac gets in, he loves it, he eats it up, and CJ's just the guy in the back. He says, I wish you'd shut your fucking mouth and just get on with it. But, you know, that won't happen.
Well, he's the old man in the group, right? I mean, what,
yeah.
He's 20-ish now?
22.
He's like middle-aged. He shouldn't be talking. He needs to take his, like, AARP card and go down the road.
Yeah, he's 22. He just had his birthday back in, I believe it was July.
Aww.
I'm probably wrong, though.
So one more question, then. Let's talk about, like, let's go back again to when the band was created. Why did you choose the band name Of the Dell? What does that mean to you?
People ask that a lot, too. My brother tells them all the same thing. It's shrouded in secrecy. The world may never know. It's actually a spin-off of last name, Odell.
Oh, so wait, Odell, whose last name is that?
Some school teacher we knew that we liked to pick on.
So, does the teacher know this?
I think he's aware, but I don't know. I graduated high school, thank God.
I think that's, I mean, I don't, if I was a teacher and a band of students that I had, or student that I had, you know, named themselves after me, I don't know, I'd feel kind of impressed. Like, hey, they're making, especially if I like the music, I'd be like, yeah, that's really cool. I'm proud of my student.
The problem was we was always in trouble, me and my brother and Isaac. Not really for bad things, just, you know, smoking in the bathroom, being loud, ignorant, you know, things teenagers do. And we were always with this man, Odell, and I just said, you know what? We're always with him. We're freaking of the Dell, man. And then he started laughing. He said, yeah, you know, 500 years ago, that would have been my name, just like O'Brien would have been of the Brian, Odell of the Dell.
Of the Dell. Well, I thought it was maybe you guys wanted your, you know, on a Dell computer, and you're like, man, I wish we had another Dell computer. And so then you thought, okay, if we name ourselves of the Dell, then maybe Dell computers will start sending us free stuff.
No, we, I don't mind computers. My brother don't mind them, but Isaac can't stand technology. He still uses an open face Nokia cell phone.
What?
Yeah. He won't use anything. He has Facebook, but he rarely uses it. He says it's the devil, and he don't want people to know what he's up to any time of day. And CJ now, our drummer, he loves it. He plays his games. He's got like 10 computers, got the newest cell phone, has to have all that crap. But no, it wasn't about computers at all.
It was about a teacher.
Yeah.
What you mentioned before, a full length, do you have any plans on when that's going to come out?
February.
Okay, cool. So February, and do you have a title for it, or, you know, how many songs are going to be on it?
There should be about 14 songs. Right now, we're calling the album, as of right now, now this is tentative, it might change. We're going to call it Squares Are Scared.
Squares Are Scared. Now, what? Where does that come from?
That came from the back of my mind. Because, you know, I meet a lot of people, and the squares, you know, the people who live their life the way they think everyone should are the ones who are afraid of, you know, afraid of us, more or less to say. They don't want, you know, they don't like us. Well, not really more or less they don't like us. It's just they're scared of something, even though there's nothing to fear.
Hmm. And do you think that's not describing you all, though? That's describing people that maybe look at you and they're confused, or people that you just interact with daily that are just not living life to the fullest because they're scared.
Yeah, they're scared of being judged, I guess. Scared of change, scared of an image, scared of, you know, life. But the way I look at it, life has a 100% mortality rate. You're not getting out of it. You got one chance. You got one shot.
It's pretty deep. That's pretty good. That sounds like something I'd quote.
That's the way I like to live, you know. You've only got that one chance.
Yeah.
Might as well do it. You're going to do something, do it big.
Well, it sounds better than YOLO. YOLO sounds like some crappy way of saying it. You put
yeah,
it.
I never was a fan of that.
Thank God. I hated it so much. Okay, is there anything that you want to mention or talk about, or maybe something that you wanted me to ask you, but I didn't ask it?
Yeah, you didn't mention Pullman Square.
I didn't mention Pullman Square? What should I mention about Pullman Square?
That's usually a hot topic. Everyone I know, you know, asks me that. Well, we're all barred from Pullman Square for life, never allowed to return.
Wait, oh, you know what? Hold on. I think someone mentioned this to me. Like, when you all were first brought up to my attention.
Yeah.
I'm glad you mentioned that. Let's go ahead and talk about it. You all played Pullman Square, right? Or you all...
One time, yes.
Okay. When was that? Was that a couple years ago or last year?
No, that was last year while we were already born.
Okay. So walk us through that. What happened? What made them think we were going to ban you from life from Pullman Square?
October 15th, 2013, I got barred forever. We were there one night with a bunch of buddies, and we were being loud, you know, and they come up to us, and one of my friends, no one in the band, one of my buddies, works at the tattoo shop downtown, smarted off to him. And we all jumped in, you know, and then there it was, barred. They called the police. They gave us our papers. You're not allowed to return until 2096, all that BS. Barred for life.
So since then, have you tried going to Pullman Square and they've like just told you no, get out of here?
Oh yeah, last month I had to pay a $300 trespassing ticket.
What?
Yeah, got caught in there. We go all the time. We've been doing it ever since we got bored. we always get run off. Like, we'll be sitting downtown at my friend's apartment, well, at our manager's apartment, and my brother's like, I'm bored. And I'm like, you want to go get run off at Pullman's or something to do? And that's what we all do.
So you just, for fun, you'll run to Pullman or run around Pullman and then see, I guess, how long it takes for them to push you away from the place?
We just go there and sit on the bench like normal people, get a coffee, smoke a cigarette, and then here they come. You know, you're not allowed here. We're calling the police. You better leave now. You're going to go to jail or not. Yeah. So it's like, oh, wow.
So this all came about from you all pretty much just sassing off a couple Pullman people. Okay.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Do you know anyone else that's been banned for life from Pullman?
No, only my group, which is odd.
That's kind of legendary, though. I mean, that could be something where, you know, in the liner notes for all of your records for the future, you put down and thank you to Pullman Square. Or you could even get a plaque or something, like, right outside Pullman Square that says, you know, banned for life of the Dell. That's like, that's kind of free promotion in a way. That's pretty cool.
Oh, I've got my paper and I already got it laminated.
You got the lamp, like, you laminated the citation or you laminated?
No, the barring notice.
Oh my God. That's
I've got the citation in my wallet. That was from October of this year. I finally got caught. I was drinking some juice. Police officer tapped on my shoulder and said, you're going to jail, put handcuffs on me, and everyone in Pullman was beaching. Then they just said, we're just going to write you a ticket. Just don't come back. Have I been back? Yeah.
Do you think there's anything you could do to reverse that? Like, who would you need to talk to? Like, the owners of the shops around there or the security?
It's not the shops. No, it's none of the storefronts. It's the property management. We've already talked to the owner and all the property management. Nope, we're never allowed back. Nope, never. Never.
Wow. I'm glad we brought this up. So what do you want to happen then? Do you just want to keep being banned from it? Is that okay? Would you want them to reverse the decision so you don't have to be run off every time?
I wouldn't mind them reversing it, but as of now, it's just another part of my life. And people, you know, that's a good topic. It's a good icebreaker. Everyone's always like, the first thing they say to me, so you're really bored from Pullman? I'm like, yeah. No big deal.
Wow. Well.
And just in recent times, I got barred from Twitter for life.
You, what?
Yeah, me. No one else, just me.
How did you get barred from Twitter?
I, that's the thing, I don't know. I was on Twitter like 1 in the morning, I said some things, nothing bad, I didn't think. Got home about 4 a.m., tried to use my Twitter, and then it said, user not found, you're unauthorized, and then I logged into it on computer, it said desktop on it, BS, thought maybe there was an error, and then it said you have been banned for a reason, I don't even know.
Was that around HMath?
Yeah.
You don't think that's because of the, you know, okay, there's this, the Twitter account, the fake Twitter account for Ian Thornton.
Yeah, I already know who that is.
Okay, but do you think that maybe someone banned you or, like, reported you because they thought you were in charge of the Twitter and then that kind of escalated to you getting banned personally?
That could be, because there's a fake Twitter account of me now also. At Real Corey Hatton, and it's a picture of Paul McCartney.
Well, wow. So, I mean, you'd be able to make another Twitter account, right? Like, or
yeah, but I just switched to Instagram because it's, you know, something different. I never used it, and now that's what I'm doing.
Okay, so just to clarify, you've been banned physically from Pullman Square in Huntington. You've been banned electronically, digitally, from Twitter. What else can you be banned from, or what do you think? What will be the next banning of 2016?
Nothing.
The next thing is like your record label saying, we're banning you. Sorry.
Yeah. I hope not. But you know, you don't know. That's the way my life goes.
It's true.
As our producer Jim Canute would say, that's life in the big city.
Of the Dell released their debut single, Runnin' on Good Times, on Neurological Records this past November. To hear more of their music, tune in to A Change of Tune, airing Saturdays at 10 p.m. Eastern on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. I'm Joni Deutsch. Thanks for listening. If you give it up today, I'll find my love.